It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of the Same Old One Wolf podcast. We are a totally independent, unfiltered weekly podcast featuring a bunch of football fans talking passionately with whatever voice they have left about the team they love, which is, of course, AFC Wimbledon, pride of South London. I'm Mark Lewis, and I'm joined on tonight's pod by Matthew Cooper and Noel Cooper, and hopefully later on, Adam Proctor. We will, of course, tonight talk about the frustration of the Forest Green game, but we'll probably gloss over that one and talk mainly about the pride of our Wednesday night, last night, as we recorded the pod, at Stamford Bridge for the League Cup tie. And we'll have another round of Fantasy AFC Wimbledon 5-a-side from the 80s and 90s with a little twist so that Matt and Niall won't actually have an argument with each other. Once again, welcome to episode 5. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Dave, this isn't just a game. Tough decisions must be made.
Hey, good work, Mark. I was just desperately trying to look for another Bananarama lyric that you might be able to chuck in there, man. But it's good stuff. I think we're all feeling a little bit lightheaded. I'm certainly feeling it slightly husky in the voice today following yesterday. I mean, we could talk about Forest Green. Unfortunately, we were away at the weekend, so we weren't there. So you're the only one who can give us the detailed insight into it. But I say do that quickly, man, and let's get on to the important thing, which was how we took a billion-pound side to the limits.
Well, let's talk about Chelsea, and we can hook back on Forest Green right at the end when we look ahead at Newport. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that they had to bring on somebody worked it out, £221.5 million worth of midfield players. That's not including the centre-forward they've won at half-time.
Yeah.
The amount of money that they spent is just absolutely ridiculous. And you just thought about it and go like, yeah, okay, that one player just bought on by seven plough lanes. You know, that's like those two midfielders, seven plough lanes, that's what it was worth. And it's like, it's just a different, whole totally different game. It just shows the complete difference and separation between, you know, community football and a bunch of people being entertained by, like, rich prima donnas. You know, it's just like, it just felt like that total difference. But anyway, all that aside, my God, it was great. When it was a great atmosphere, I loved it. That 26 minutes or whatever it was when we were, that scoreboard saying 1-0 to the Super Dons was amazing. I would argue to the day I die with Mark Lewis about whether it was a penalty or not. This is because I'm a defender and Mark Lewis clearly has never been a defender in his life.
Well,
and therefore, I think when you get the ball first, that is not a foul. If it so happens that once you've got the ball first, that you happen to take out the player's leg with your stud showing, that's just good defending.
I think it's how he got the ball first, Niall.
He got the ball first
through the player.
No.
But it's...
Also, Matt,
there you are, look Mark, at it.
Both, if you both fundamental it, things, Matt. I need to interrupt you. Both fundamental things, right? He's a Chelsea player. So of course it was not a foul. It was never going to be a foul. And he got the ball.
But it was...
Wimbledon player got the ball. No penalty. End of story.
Yeah, what was interesting was that it was two mistakes from us that allowed them into the game. They couldn't get past us any other way, you know. It's not even like having a go at our players. It was just because, you know, we're playing to such a high intensity. Things are going to happen. The guy who got the penalty, you know, could play fast feet. What? But it was just a minor thing. And Bass, I think, had kept us in the game. He was absolutely brilliant. And it's just those things happen. Do you know what I mean? But it wasn't. They didn't create a chance. They didn't create a ch We defended so well when they were in possession. It was a phenomenal example of players being knowing exactly what they were meant to do, knowing their roles and sticking to it. It was just incredible to see. And to be 1-0 up, but what was it? I think someone said 26 minutes. That was just beautiful. Someone
Have
said
you
before the game, what was your like your most optimistic way of it going wrong? I mean, like, so I thought we might lose 4 or 5-1, and my most optimistic was that it would be a draw and we might win on penalties.
So I read a little bit about, you know, what Pochettino said in terms of the team they were going to put out and so on. But even if they put out, you know, a second or third choice team, as evidenced, they obviously would still have 200 or 300 million pounds worth of strike force on there. It turns out it was about 500 million pounds, including their substitutes. So I think I'm with you, Matt, that I wasn't expecting anything less than a 3 or 4-1. What I said to my son, though, my son was with me. I just wanted us to go out. I mean, it's easy for JJ to say in advance, we're going to go and we're going to play and we're going to try and give him a game. But actually, Arsenal a couple of years ago under Robbo, we didn't. We just like rolled over and let Arsenal tickle our tummy. And it was so frustrating. And it was really quite tepid atmosphere, even though there was a much bigger crowd at the Emirates that night. Last night was fantastic because the Wimbledon fans gave it loads. Because the team gave it loads, and the team fed off the players, and the players fed off the team. And the rest of the Chelsea crowd, 33, 34,000, or whatever they were pathetic, frankly. And us singing, "You're just embarrassing" at them was utterly justified because the team were prima donnas, and the crowd were even more prima donnas. They were like, "Oh my God, we expect," right from people getting on the train because I live in south edge of southwest London, so there's loads of Chelsea fans around by me, and they were expecting 4-5-6 because it's only League Two.
It was interesting. I was talking to Niall about this on the way back. You know, we've played a few Premier League teams now in cup competitions, and in terms of atmosphere, weirdly, it was up there with the West Ham game where we won. It was up there with that in terms of atmosphere. And Stamford Bridge, you know, despite everything, it does enable you to create that sort of buzz. It does enable you to create that sort of atmosphere. We were all crammed in. It was great. The Emirates is just like a bowl. You disappear into it, you know. It was electric. And my daughter was with me last night, and she just loved it. She was getting really into it as well. It was fantastic.
That was my first experience of safe standing, actually. I didn't even realize they had safe standing. And there's not a lot of room in there when you're, you know, 6 foot 8 and 17 plus stone like I am. But actually, it was quite good there was safe standing because I would say after Tilly scored, and that is the way to take a penalty, absolutely smash it down the middle. After Tilly scored, there was a good 15 minutes where I basically felt sick because I was so nervous and such anticipation and not knowing what was going to go on. And Chelsea were attacking towards where we were. But I was clinging onto the barrier for dear life, basically, which is ridiculous because, you know, I wasn't drunk or anything else like that. I didn't need any assistance in the barrier. But I was giving it loads and I managed to find there's about 15 pictures on the website today that the one of the official photographers took. And I'm in one of them, which is good. So easy to spot myself. I think we're joined by Mr. Proctor, although I'm not quite sure whether his mobile
Yeah.
connection is working.
Hopefully it is. I'm literally out in the car park.
Nice. But
Good
I'm
evening, Mr. Adam. How are you? And how was the journey home to Southampton?
yeah, we got it took us longer than I hoped. So we got back at like almost 1 a.m. I think, plus, I can't remember, but yeah, so we missed one of the connecting the little earlier train. But it was a long journey. I think after that kind of game, I mean, yeah, I tend to be very, me and Evie have a very quiet train ride home, and there's no, we don't sort of actively talk too much about it. So we haven't discussed the game too much. But it was, I mean, I can't really even think about what we did in terms of football, other than it was mad. And I couldn't really speak this morning because I'd lost my voice. So yeah, it was a great fun day out.
Just there no women fans on the plane?
No, not really. No, no, not the route we took. So it's just to Clapham Junction. Then we just had to wait at Clapham Junction. That was a problem. So yeah, and there was no. Sometimes there's a couple of other Wimbledon fans that are definitely down in Southampton that occasionally I see Clapham, but maybe they just got there earlier than us. We were definitely on. I wanted to get a 10:30 train, but we ended up getting the 11:15 train. So yeah, but it was great fun.
What were your expectations then, Adam, in terms of, as Matt said, in terms of the score and how the game would go?
I thought we were going to lose 4-1. And someone said to me, "You think you're going to score?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I want us to score." So my only expectation was please just score a goal. And after that, you know, but also the fact that we scored the first goal, that blew my mind, you know. Yeah, I thought we did great. I mean, again, I don't know the Chelsea squads, so I don't know who these players are. And someone was like, "Oh, did they actually bring on any of their, you know, their stars?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but they were certainly not. Nothing, they weren't. Yeah, I think if they hadn't scored the second, I suspect they. I don't know who else was on the bench, but yeah. But the most expensive player scored against us. So,
here's the rundown. Someone put online earlier on. Their starting lineup was Sanchez, 23 million, Colwell and Humphreys from the youth team. Disasi, 45 million. Cucurella, 65 million. Maduaki, who was the really tidy right winger, best player on the field, 35 million. Madison, 110,000. Blimey. Gallagher through the youth team. Okuchukwu, 27 million. Mason Burstow, who I didn't even know was playing until he was substituted, 1.8 million. That's a snip from Charlton. And Movera, I think they got for free somehow. Then they brought on Jackson at half-time, 37 million. Fernandez, World Cup winner, 121 million, but I thought it was 105 million. Anyway, what's 15 million between friends? Caicedo, 116 million, and Gusto, the right-back, 30 million. So it's obscene, considering in our team, I believe we paid a small transfer fee for Harry Pell, a small transfer fee for Lightning McQueen, Ryan McLean, and Davidson apparently is 150 or so thousand. Everybody else was either free or through the academy.
Just mad. That's mad, isn't it, when you think about it? But yeah, I mean, so my expectation was to score. Didn't think that would happen. Was too excited throughout the whole of the day. So I didn't really, I didn't pay much attention to the football, just the atmosphere. And it was just, it was so good. It was so noisy. Yeah, I didn't realise it was safe standing. Of course, that's why those barrier things were there, but obviously no one sat down anyway. I'm quite glad it was safe standing then, because when we scored, I don't particularly want other grown men falling on top of me, which is normally what happens in some of these OANs. But they were quiet as well. I mean, it always surprised me when you go to these big stadiums that I know when you're in your away end, you hear all your stuff so much louder, but it's like they weren't that noisy. And I always think, why aren't you as noisy as we get? And we're noisy at all of our games these days, actually.
I think this is the problem with the Premier League. Because I think you've got to a point where the cost of watching Premier League football is so massive that you end up with people going to the game as tourists or just to be entertained by a bunch of very rich footballers. So that connection between the community and the club is so much broken. You know, they just, you didn't feel that sort of like, you know, like we've got a team now. And I think this is one thing that Jackson talked about a bit afterwards, that felt like these are players that are going to put themselves on the line for the club. And they're actually starting to play like an old style Wimbledon team. I mean, that's why, you know, something like Harry Pell might never be the most gifted of players, but, you know, my God, he's going to do everything to help us win. And you can just see that in a few of the other players that are coming through. Like, you know, I like the look of Johnson. I feel, you know, Jack Reeves is going to do like everything for us. You know, there are a bunch of players in there that just feel like this is a team full of people that really care. And that's so different than watching Chelsea, which is a bunch of like, and Mark, I think you mentioned this the other day, like it's 11 players, not a team.
Oh, complete bunch of individuals. And there are some Chelsea fans in my office today who were giving the, oh yeah, we only played bunch of U team players, and I pointed out they didn't. But I also then straightforwardly pointed out, which he couldn't disagree with, that they're just individuals, very talented individuals, but same as Nottingham Forest last year. They signed 20 plus players or something ridiculous in the transfer window. And you have to give the credit to Jackson. And to be fair, some people have been eating a lot of humble pie on social media. What I will say, though, is I actually ran into Craig Cope just coincidentally. He was on the same tube train as me getting out of Wimbledon on the way to the game. And I said to him, Craig, you know, I'm not blowing smoke up your arse, but we've got a team. This is before the game started, before I knew what the lineup was, before the actual 90 minutes and so on. But I said to him, we've got a team that we can be proud of now. And you know, obviously, he's not a Wimbledon fan. Well, he wasn't a Wimbledon fan when he came, but he really is now because he's completely bought into it because the fans explain what's going on. You know, he was on the terrace at Colchester, for example. He was in the boardroom last night because it's nice being in the boardroom at Chelsea, I suppose. But then he wouldn't have experienced the limbs, as they say, that we experienced last night because I don't really remember screaming. I just randomly hugged a friend of ours that was with us who doesn't get to get many games. She forgave me. She's known me for years, fortunately. When we scored those.
It was an incredible atmosphere. It's really weird, Mark, you talking about how you, you know, feeling nervous. I kind of almost expected them to score and almost expected them to win. And because I'd gone with such low expectations, I actually enjoyed myself. I enjoyed all those moments. You know, it was a shame. There was a one little moment right at the end, wasn't there, where Ali is sort of like did a lovely little trick and got into right in front, and then ball got knocked off his feet right at the end, and we got a corner. But that would have been beautiful to have scored in like the last minute and taken the penalties. Would have been absolutely glorious. But I actually enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the whole experience. The atmosphere was wonderful. I mean, it was just a beautiful atmosphere. I'm so proud of the team. And in terms of talking about humble pie, you know, I think we were all at one point last season, you know, talking about JJ having to go, you know, the Salford debacle and other things like that. But, you know, he did admit freely when he came in, he needed these transfer windows to get a team that, you know, he wanted to work with. And I think he's got that. And, you know, it's interesting to hear him say that there might be another couple of incomings, I'm guessing loans, in the next, maybe over the next day or so. So, you know, yeah, a couple of loans. So it's which is brilliant. I mean, I think we're all slightly nervous, aren't we, tomorrow to see what might happen to Ali, because there's lots of rumours whistling around at the moment. Peterborough have had a bid rejected today, my understanding is, and they might come back with another bid tomorrow. So we'll watch that. I mean, and that's the thing. When he came on, he made a difference. He terrorised their back line. I mean, he absolutely terrorised them. And it was beautiful to see him sort of like having to pull his shirt to stop him in one moment. He was great, but they were all brilliant. It's interesting to know what your because it was all so brilliant. It was difficult for me to think about a player that really stood out. Harry Pell, I thought, was immense. You know, he was winning balls in the air off these million-pound players. I thought he was fantastic and getting everywhere. Tilly not only taking the penalty, which I just think that is balls, man, to be taking the penalty against Sanchez, facing all of those Chelsea mob who were trying to put you off. I think that was amazing. And Darren Johnson at the back was brilliant. And special mention, obviously, to your fellow countryman Morgan Williams, who was Mark, who was
fantastic. Making his debut. Making his full professional competitive debut, aged 18, at Stamford Bridge. I mean, that's just ludicrous. I might even have to reclaim my Welsh heritage. I'm actually going to the Rugby World Cup next week in France with my son. He was with me at the game last night. And we are going to follow Wales. But, yeah, obviously, then second generation Welsh. I am as Welsh as I am English, I suppose, although I was born in England.
Mark, that's such a really valid point because, you know, the thing about obviously gets you cross when you read some of the media stuff, and it's like, it wasn't like actually we didn't, it wasn't our best team on paper, you know, the other team. We actually had a couple of injuries, and like, we've got an 18-year-old making his professional debut. You know, it's like, yeah, fine. Here you are with your moaning about all this sort of stuff. Apart from the fact that all of your team, any one of your players costs more than our entire squad. You know, it's just like, you know, talk to your Chelsea mates and say, we were beating you 1-0. And in the first half, they had one shot on target. We had one shot on target, right? It was an even first half. The second half, like, Bass was brilliant, right? No denying that. He was really good. But we lost to a scrappy mistake. And that is it. You know, the team was pretty damn good. And it's like, you know, for a team that's been injury ravaged, playing a couple of youngsters, which is what we were.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have our first choice midfielding at all.
That's the truth, Knight. I mean, it's not just that they were saying they played academy players. We played academy players. You know, it's so you can't be using that as an excuse.
So no. We were missing Billa and Carey and obviously Little and Reeves in midfield. And we didn't start with Ali either. So, you know, I have to say Jackson and Skipton, whatever, was a tactical masterclass. I was going to ask Adam, obviously, because Adam's, your daughter was with you as well. Likewise, Matt's and likewise my son. For that generation, you know, how did she find it? What kind of reaction did she give to it? Because my son was getting into it and chanting in a way I've never heard him do before.
Well, Evie, I mean, yeah, we haven't talked about the game experience, but Evie, she gets into the chanting, and we like the, you know, the silly ones, like, is this a library and is there a fire drill? You know, those kind of ones. So when the library, you know, so when the library one came out, that was like, Evie was loving it. So yeah, she was, yeah, I think I'm amazed that she could speak this morning as well. So yeah, I think she really enjoyed the experience. I think a few of her friends are Chelsea fans, so I think she put something rude on her social media with a picture of the Chelsea supporters and said, look at those something beginning with a W. I think just to wind her friends up.
Nice.
And of course, a few people were texting me straight away. They're like, we've just seen the score. What's going on? And I'm like, I think I must have seen that afterwards or at halftime. But I was like, yeah, it was pretty mad. So yeah, I think she really enjoyed it. And my dad was there. You know, he really, I think he enjoyed the occasion. It was really good, you know, and it felt safe. Yeah, I mean, interesting little ground once you get in. It was a bit weird when you come in because you kind of, it was a bit, I don't know, it's kind of like you're in a cave and then suddenly you're in the stadium, which is a bit weird. But I was going to say, the other thing is I thought half time it would be a nightmare to get a beer because there's like everyone packed into that one thing. Tell you what, they definitely serve beer fast in that place. It might have been £6.50. That's maybe even more expensive than our beer. But they served it fast. So I was pleased about that. And the programme, actually. I got the programme. And I read it late last night when we got back. And it's really good because it had like interviews with loads of people connected to Wimbledon. I can't remember their names now. But there was, yeah, obviously Joe Sheeran was in there. There was this other manager, CEO guy who must have been connected to Wimbledon.
David Barnard.
And of course and then the kit. Who was the other person recently passed away?
He was
in there. It was Chelsea.
David McKnight. David McKnight got a couple of mentions, which is lovely because
David McKnight, he was the groundsman or whatever. He helped with the Chelsea women's team at King's Meadow.
Yeah, so it had some really good. I mean, I read more of that programme than I've read of ours so far this season because it just had some really interesting characters in it. So I don't know. I mean, I have to look at the programmes. It'd be good. I'd like us to do more interviews like that, actually, because they were just really well written. So, yeah, she loved it. I loved it. Like I said, I don't really, can't really comment on the game because it was just, I don't really know what I was watching, to be honest. It's just mad.
It sounds like hyperbole because we lost and it's frustrating to lose. But I genuinely feel right now, you know, around 20 or so hours after the game, that in 45 years of watching Wimbledon, I don't remember feeling as good leaving a game that we've lost at all. Because we were walking out of Stamford Bridge and literally coming out into the communal area on the Fulham High Road, going back towards Fulham Broadway Tube. the only fans singing were Wimbledon fans. And there were lots of Chelsea fans around, but they were almost hiding. They were embarrassed. And then we got back to Fulham Broadway Tube, and there's obviously two sides of the platform. The side for the trains going south was our side, and General Lee was in the middle of that with all the, you know, with your son, who's part of the sort of teenage crowd, who are the guys that go all over the place and somehow will find a way to get to Newport on Saturday, even though there's a train strike. And they were singing loud and proud, and all the Chelsea fans, the opposite side, going into London, were standing there on their phones, filming us singing, not trying to sing against us, just filming us singing as if they've never seen a fan sing, which they probably haven't because they're Premier League.
We were on that side because we were going the other way, Mark. So we were there, and it was interesting. I mean, like, you know, but it did get to a point where there was just one or two fans, Chelsea fans, clear enough, and started saying "F off Wimbledon." And it was just like, yeah, man, we kind of got under your skin, which was great. And I wonder if there's a sort of sense of, I don't know if there is really. Is there a sense of jealousy? You know, like, because we were so attached. And I think one of the nice things, and I found this at Plough Lane as well, anyhow, and wherever we go, is you know people. You know, it does feel like there's a community. You know, you go from your seats to the bar, and you go through, you know, getting food. You know people, and the people were coming up to me last night and saying, you know, I'm at whatever it is. You know, it's just nice. There's just that sort of like feeling of togetherness, which is lovely. And you know, and JJ talked about it, didn't he, today? He was saying if we can stay together, we could do something special. And I really hope so. I mean, I hope there's not full storms because we've had so many of them. And obviously it's, you know, going back to Forest Green, I mean, it's exciting to be where we are in the table. You know, that is exciting. But maybe we slip down. Maybe after a few games we're more mid table or something like that. But there's gonna be ups and downs, it's football.
Hey, I'm hoping my playoff prediction still comes true. So I'm gonna hope we stay in this area.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I really hope so. I'm like Mark, you know, in a lot of ways that just, I haven't felt that upbeat after a defeat for a very long time because it was just the passion that was there. Do you know, that old Wimbledon spirit that I felt that was there. And even like, as Matt said, we were on the other side of we were going north where everybody was going south at Fulham Broadway Tube. And just all those Wimbledon fans, it just reminded me a bit of some of the Premier League away games when we've done that before. And it's just been like, it felt awesome. It felt so good to be like that, going like, we're living with you guys. You know, we're actually giving it large. We're the kind of, you are the kind of Billy Big Bollocks. And we're saying, well, screw the lot of you. We're better than that because we stand for so much more. And it was brilliant. I absolutely loved, that's what I love coming away from it.
We all know Chelsea fans, right? We've all got Chelsea fans in our office or in our acquaintance group, friendship group, or live nearby or whatever. How many of those Chelsea fans have we actually heard from in the last 20 hours? I haven't heard from any because they're too embarrassed.
No, but that's because I've done a big cull.
Refuse to talk to... I used to refuse to put Chelsea players in my fantasy league team until I realised they were actually quite good and therefore that was damaging my prospects of ever getting anywhere, but...
But it was
the thing is, like a Chelsea fan, I mean, like, it's just fake. I just can't get over the kind of, you're buying players that, like, it's just so artificial. You know, it just didn't feel like, you know, even coming away from it, like, there was no sense of what does it mean to be Chelsea from me. You know, I like their music they played at the start. There's lots of London tunes. I quite like that. They were quite good like tunes that all the Wimbledon fans really loved. That was quite nice. Yeah. But that was about it.
I have to say, that was one thing I think I said to Matt as well, was I thought the PA inside with the music was really good. I don't know what they've done, but it's not like ours is rubbish compared to the setup that they've got in terms of being able to hear the music. And they played really good. Yeah, they played really good songs. I can't remember what any of them were. But they got me really pumped.
London,
oh, yeah, of course.
London,
but they got us pumped more than the Chelsea fans.
I know.
It's just like, But I was like well impressed with the sound. I was like, we need this sound system because I liked it. But maybe I just, like I said, I think I was just too excited all day. So maybe I just was hearing things, but it definitely, I got very excited.
And why not? If you can't get excited about that kind of thing, then, and like I said, the team fed the crowd fed the team, even though, you know, it wasn't close to first choice. And that is encouraging for me because the sign of a successful season is not what you do in a League Cup tie when there's a big atmosphere. The sign of a successful team to me is what you do. Forest Green was disappointing, but we missed chances. We great lots of chances, we missed chances. That's why we only drew. And actually, Deeney was a bit sneaky and he was just about onside, even though I was giving absolute pelters to the linesman because it looked like he was offside because it was directly in front of me. But I'll have hold my hand up so I got that one wrong. But actually, what happens on Saturday when, you know, we're playing with who knows, 300, 400, 500 away fans and 3,000, 4,000 or so home fans against Newport, who are again a typical League Two big physical side, that will be the proper acid test, because then you know, you bet your bottom dollar that they'll kick Morgan Williams up in the air. But I mean, last night, just to flick back to last night, things like Pell being the one that wound up Pochettino, who's, you know, a supposedly world-class manager being paid a world-class wage, but can't actually accept the fact that if his goalkeeper happens to punch somebody on the top of the head, that player's going to go down. Because that's what happens when you get punched on the head.
Yeah,
Obviously, there's no
I think you're
shithousery in the
right.
Premier League, apparently, because there's no VAR. Well, there wasn't any VAR last night.
I think it's going to be interesting. It is interesting about what do we take. Hopefully, we can take this. It is exciting. I think people feel there's a buzz, and if we can take that into Saturday, that's going to be the acid test. Because I think Newport are doing well as well. You know, I think they're doing quite well. So, that is the test. You're right. It's not about last night. It's about the next game.
Newport's
So
record is
what?
exactly the same as us. Two wins, three draws.
Yeah. So it's going to be that's going to be a very that should be a very tight game. But hoping that we might get a couple of players in, and I think Curry's back training now, isn't he? And PK's back training, so we've got a little bit of cover there. And I don't know what the story with Reeves or Little is. Mark, do you know?
Reeves, I understand, is some form of hamstring strain, and that's weeks rather than days.
Yeah.
Little, I think, is a little more optimistic, as in, I don't know whether he'll play Saturday, but it's not necessarily a longer term thing. But I mean, you know, we've mixed and matched. Obviously, we had to switch Johnson out because it's not realistic to play either Pierce or Brown Saturday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Wednesday. But then, if Curry can come back playing in Pizza Trophy next week, and then you've got Curry actually as your proper left side, left choice. But I mean, fair play again to Jackson. You can put more people on the bench. So not only did he have, you know, Ogundore and Williams starting, but he had Kai Jennings, who no one's really come across, who's probably about seventh choice central midfield as an 18, 19-year-old who's come right through the academy from the age of about 10 or 11. And I think his first year pro. And he was on the bench last night,
Yeah.
warming up alongside Ethan Sutcliffe, you know, who looks like he's about 12, but is actually quite a capable player, but needs to play men's football to, you know, toughen himself up.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, we talked about this briefly last time. I mean, where do you see? I wouldn't have been looking for a centre midfielder prior to last week, and and maybe we don't need one still now. But do we need cover at right back? And I'm still feeling that we could do with a poacher, like an out and out like striker. So it feels like those are positions maybe we need. I don't know what other people think.
I'd
You need
agree with
John
you.
Mayne, don't you? Like somebody like that. Not that John Mayne would ever be able to cope with League Two, but like that sort of player who was like just always in the right place at the right time. Every club wants one of those.
That's the thing.
I mean, like, I think that we've actually not far off having like those set of forwards that we need. You know, we're not far off it. Yeah, I'd love for us to nail a poacher. I do, you know, even the fact that we've got two injuries to at centre midfield, we've got injuries at fullback. It's not like the team necessarily seems weak. We've actually seemed to got a relatively all right level of depth going on. You know, so it's not bad. I mean, I kind of would be quite happy for tomorrow to pass without anyone coming in or going out. You know, maybe, you know, I'd probably be quite happy with that. I think there's probably a couple of like stroppy players we might have that could probably be shifted out and replaced by similar types who've got a better attitude. But other than that,
But talking about that, you know, that was the theme at the end of last season, beginning of this season. And obviously the likes of Woodyard and Nightingale moved on. And Brown was one that a lot of people talked about wanting to move out. But he seems to have just knuckled down. And, you know, he's accepted that he's not going to be in the team every week. But when he has been in the team, and he's obviously had more of a chance because Carey's been injured. But when he has been in the team, he's done a solid job. He hasn't let anybody down. He hasn't really been messing around. He's realised that he can't do the same kind of shithousery that he normally does because referees are clamping down on that stuff this season. But even then, he managed to front up towards the end last night when in the 97th minute, we were still preparing the Chelsea goal with corners.
It's all good. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'm never sure on this. When it comes to the loan market, can we make loans after the deadline day? No. So loans would have to come in tomorrow.
If they are contracted, if they're out of contract, you can sign them whenever.
Yeah.
But equally, why would you want to sign an out of contract player? They'll obviously hang out for as long as they can get away with it. But
yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want. It's tricky, isn't it? Because you don't. I'd rather buy someone than loan, because I feel I'm so nervous about the loan market now. If we stop relying on loanees.
I read something today that the Stockport manager has been interviewed, and possibly, if you read, depending on which internet rumor you believe, has accepted the job at Charlton. So then they're thinking, well, hang on, someone else will come in at Stockport, and then they'll want to recall Lewis. I don't know whether that will happen very quickly or whether that's just people being paranoid, but obviously, because we've had loans recalled, then understandably people are skeptical about that. You'd like to hope, with a little bit of money from Chelsea Cup tie last night and with a little bit of wages released from the likes of Bendel and Woodyard and Nightingale going out, you'd like to think there's some flexibility there for Craig to be able to bring people in. And maybe it is the fullback if there's someone that can play left side and right side. Yeah, so we haven't got to rush people back, because that's the other issue. If you rush people back and they're not fit,
yeah,
we did that last season. It never worked.
Yeah, but I think we've got cover in midfield, to be honest with you. I'd feel a little bit weird about getting another centre mid in, but if we could get a striker, and that's it. Maybe that's the loanee, which worries me again. Then, you know, because we've got a lone keeper, we've got a lone centre back, haven't we? In Lewis, and we've got our you know, to get loanees that are going to be in key places.
But then what encourages me so much from last night is that, you know, someone like Morgan hadn't had a kick at all since pre-season. The team's done really well. Even McLean came in for the last few minutes last night. He hadn't had a kick since Coventry either. And they managed to slot into a system of playing and understanding of the way you do stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Tilly scored more goals now for us than he scored in the month of August as he has done in any other season for any club in any full season.
He's great, and I want him to keep on taking penalties. He's very good at that. But of course, I think Morgan's big break was the role in my play where he came on and had an appearance. And I think that's given him that extra bit of confidence to step up. You know, he's faced his fears there. Now anything, you know, and so he hasn't said it directly to me, but I think I've been a part of his development, and you know, and I'm sorry for all the people out there in podcast land who didn't see his performance, but it was amazing, and if I've helped in any way, then that's fine. I mean, he delivered the free kick onto Pell where he got knocked out. And I think at that moment he was channeling that sort of like inner confidence that only performing on the stage can give you.
We just, I agree entirely, Adam. Although, to be fair, I was there that night when Morgan did give that presentation as part of the play. I think the fact that Craig came to the play and brought Morgan with him is a sign in itself of the relationship between management and players and their understanding of exactly how integral the bits off the field like Matt's play are.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. I think
integral, I think, is the word that we just take away from that. We can end the podcast with that.
No, but I think Mark is right in the sense that it's those things that make the players want to play for us and feel connection, you know, and come running straight over to where we are when, you know, to celebrate and all that kind of stuff, you know. Whereas, again, you look at, you know, I don't watch a lot of Premier League football, but they don't celebrate with the fans. They celebrate with each other if they score a lot of the time. Whereas, you know, so I think, yeah, go. And of course, you know, going out on the theatre must be quite scary. So I'm sure it helped him in lots of ways.
Yep, let's stay with that. Okay, Mark, I think we need to move on now before Niall steps in with any snarky comments.
Delightful. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to very quickly touch on Forest Green to say it was frustrating, but we created those chances. We did really well to readjust because we lost Reeves and Little. And Ball, I think, is another interesting addition because he's come in having barely kicked a ball since pre-season and instantly made an impact with the goal as well. So, I think that's the two of them, obviously, is a completely brand new midfield pairing with Ball and Williams. But Williams is actually a Wales under 17, under 18 international, so he's not completely wet behind the ears. And interesting to see whether or not he ends up getting abuse off the Newport fans in that very time-honoured fashion that they treat their own very badly. But fingers crossed, as Niall says, fingers crossed there'll be no adverse changes and people we lose that we don't expect to lose or want to lose in the next 24 hours in the transfer window. So actually, for me, what is encouraging, even before last night, is the group we have and the way they played last night is a group that people would want to play for. If you are a championship manager and you've got a fringe player, you can say to that player, look, this team actually is engaging together. This club is moving in the right direction. It's a good place for you to go and actually, you know, get some minutes under your belt and you're not going to a struggling team. So I'm going to move us along very quickly because I think everybody's got a degree of excitement and elation, but also a degree of exhaustion from last night's game. So I will move us along to the latest edition of our fantasy five-a-side. And we'll do it a little bit differently as requested last week. So as we do before, you're going to pick one goalkeeper, two defenders and two midfield stroke attackers. This week, I've gone for a bit of a mid-80s, late-80s, early-90s theme, mainly because we had to stretch it to be able to get enough decent goalkeepers. But what we'll do is we'll allow one person to choose a goalkeeper, the second person to choose defenders, and the third person to choose attackers and so on, so that all the best players don't get stolen straight away. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start then with Matt. Matt's goalkeepers are Dave Besant, Simon Tracy, Hans Seegers, Paul Heald, and Neil Sullivan.
Who on earth is picking Paul Heald?
He's the Dodge Bollocks. Well, he was, anyway.
I find it frustrating. I mean, like, can I just say...
I thought Paul Heald was a good goalkeeper. Just saying. He was a good goalkeeper.
Didn't he stay around with franchise?
Oh, that's
no.
Really a bad goalkeeper.
Well, he can't be on the list.
I mean, like, because he was Paul Hill was a dog's bollocks, but then he was just Paul Hill is bollocks. Can I just say with this rules of this game, right? It's just one defender, and then you go to the next person. Because I just get a goalie, I don't get the decent pick anyhow. Dave Besson.
Okay, Adam, your defenders are Keith Curl, John Scales, Terry Freeland, Clive Goodyear, Gary Elkins. Number one is Gary Elkins. Number two is Gary Elkins. And, of course, we all live in a Gary Elkins world. Dean Blackwell, Chris Perry and Brian McAllister.
Does he pick the goalkeeper first?
No.
Me, referee?
No.
Oh, and okay. How many defenders do I pick now?
Two. Two out of that list.
Oh, yeah. So Perry and Court.
Court?
Is that who you said?
No, I didn't. I said Curl.
Oh, yeah. Curl.
Curl, Scales, Freeland, Goodyear, Elkins, Perry, Blackwell and McAllister.
Or that well-known defender, Carl Court.
Look, I'm on a phone. But Perry and whoever they go.
Yeah, the other, like Adam, you can be on the phone. Carl Court. You've done with Kevin Keegan did. Which thinking, I must have got completely the wrong player. Because that's what everybody knows Kevin Keegan meant by Jason Yule.
Bobby Robson. It was Bobby Robson.
But yeah.
Right, who was the first player you said, Mark?
Keith Curl, Judas.
I want Curl and Perry, please.
Curl and Perry. Okay. Right. So, Niall, you get to pick strikers. Alan Cork, Stuart Evans, Laurie Sanchez, John Fashanu, Colton Fairweather, Dean Holdsworth, Neil Ardley, Robbie Earl, Marcus Gale, Andy Clark.
Midfielders, you meant? Because that's
midfield attack, yeah. Two from there.
Right. So, obviously, Robbie Earl and... I'm almost feeling sentimental. I might go with Neil Ardley.
Earl and Ardley. Okay. Right. So I'm going with, going back to goalkeepers, I'm going with Seegers. So that means who was first? Matt was first, I believe.
Yeah. I hope made this more complicated.
I was trying to be nice, you know. So Niall so far has got... No, Matt's got Besson, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So go on then, defenders, Matt.
What have I got left?
You've got John Scales, Terry Freeland, Clive Goodyear, Gary Elkins, Dean Blackwell, Brian McAllister.
I've got Scales. And I'm going to go Clive Goodyear.
Oh. Okay. Right. So then midfield attack. You lost Ardley and Earl. Adam, you've got Alan Cork, Stuart Evans, Lois Sanchez, John Freshner, Colton Fairweather, Dean Holdsworth, Marcus Gale, Andy Clark.
Freshner and Sanchez
absolutely hated each other.
Yeah, the best mates they were.
They're going to be fine in my five-a-side. They're going to be best buds.
Right, I chose Seegers, didn't I? Right, so Niall, have you got a keeper? No, you haven't. You can choose from Simon Tracy, Neil Sullivan, Paul Heald.
Sully.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what?
So that leaves Matt with two out of Gary Elkins, Terry Freeland, Dean Blackwell, Brian McAllister.
I've done defenders, mate.
Oh, have you? Oh, yeah. Well, then I will take defenders then. I'll take Blackwell and Freeland.
Yeah, good.
So you need to do strikers then, Matt.
Yeah.
See, I was trying to make it easier. It makes it more complicated.
Yeah, because you've not done it the way I suggested. This cap's fine.
You can do that next week.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting that as someone who teaches games design, maybe I should work out the rules for the games.
Well, then do so for next week. Right. Yeah. Right, so, Matt, you've got Alan Cork, Stuart Evans, Colton Fairweather, Dean Holdsworth, Marcus Gale, Andy Clark.
I'm going to go Marcus Gale, Andy Clark, because Andy Clark can't be offside in five-a-side football.
That's very true. Okay, Niall, what are you missing? Have you got a team now?
Defenders.
Well, there you are then. Gary Elkins, Brian McAllister for Niall. And Matt, what are you missing?
I'm not, mate. I'm done.
You're done? Right. Adam,
I need a goalie. Otherwise, I'm in real trouble.
Paul Heald or Simon Tracy?
Mate.
I got rubbish.
Nobody wanted Paul Heald. Which leaves me with Alan Cork and Colton Fairweather up front.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because nobody wanted Holdsworth because his hair's too slick.
Very good.
Love it. Love it loads. Okay, so I don't know how many people will make it to Newport on the day of a train strike. I'll be representing the Donald Trust board, so I'll be there.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, nice. Enjoy.
Well, I'm adding to my grounds. There? I'm on about 53 grounds. This is one ground I've never been to. So,
how are you getting?
Yeah, well, I have
driving.
Coach.
Anybody want to lift to Newport? Then let me know.
I used to go. I lived there for a while, so I did used to go when I could. But I've got less excuses these days. But yeah, I've been to Newport a couple of times. But they've moved grounds, haven't they? At some point.
Yeah, they've moved ground a few times. They're sharing with one of the rugby union teams, apparently.
Oh, okay. I haven't been there then. Can't remember which one I've been to. But...
I think they play at Rodney Parade, but I could be wrong. Anyway.
Nice. Well, enjoy.
I will obviously report back next week. We will wrap the pod up there. Thank you very much to Matt. Thank you very much to Adam, dialing in from somewhere in a car park. And thank you very much to Niall. And we've been the Same Old Wombles, which, as usual, you can find via Spotify, via sameoldwombles.com. And we'll be back with episode 6 at some point next week. Thank you, gentlemen, and good night.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us, phony Beatlemania.